You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday, February 15th. We are feeling the love tonight, a day after Valentine's Day. All you need is love, right? Keith Alexander, my co-host, my friend, my confederate, and tonight we have got a treat in store for you this first hour, the likes of which you won't believe. Jonas Deguerre, a friend of mine, a gentleman who hosted me on his wildly popular broadcast in Sweden about a week and a half ago, is with us this evening, burning the midnight oil over there in Northern Europe. Jonas, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, James. Thank you for inviting me, and it's an honor to be on.
I couldn't reciprocate the favor quickly enough. And folks, if you don't know Jonas, let me tell you a little bit about him. He is a publishing baron, having published and edited a print journal, Salt, over in Europe that is opened the eyes of so many of our kinsmen across the pond. He is also a radio personality, hosting the very popular Antidote program, formerly known as Radio Forward. He also administers a webzine of the same name. He is a conservative political activist, having worked with the Party of the Swedes, a party in Sweden that pushes forth our interests. Basically, if there's a way he can fight for our people, he puts himself in it. Radio, print, political activism on the street and through the political party process. Jonas, let me ask you this. What motivated you to involve yourself in such a manner on behalf of our kin and our ideas?
I don't know. I can tell you the exact moment, though, when I decided that this is what I have to do. There was an exhibition in the Protestant Cathedral of Uppsala, which is the main sort of cathedral in Sweden, exhibiting 12 pictures of our Lord depicting him in various homosexual settings, and that was the that was sort of the turning point for me. And this was, of course, widely and heavily medialized, and people came to see the thing. They brought the little children, and I just found it so disgusting. And I there and then, and this would have been back in 98, I think, the autumn of 98. I had published myself a bit before that, but I was kind of looking forward to doing a thesis in the history of ideas and that kind of thing. But there and then I sort of decided that this is, you know, this is hopeless, and this has to be fought one way or the other.
Jonas, this is Keith Alexander. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Keith. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, what are the big topics of interest for your show in today's Sweden? What is animating you? What is motivating you to have the show, have the webzine, and tell us what the issues are in Sweden today?
So, Sorry, Keith, I can hear you both very faintly. Could you repeat?
Okay, I was just going to ask you, what are the issues that animate you to be involved in a show like ours in Sweden today? What is happening in Sweden that makes you an activist and makes you feel that you need to have a radio show like ours?
Well, I mean, it's very... first off, I shall say that your show has been very much the model and the main inspiration for us. I consider myself mainly a writer. I mean, that's what I've been doing. Some 5 years ago, I wouldn't have thought of really, you know, doing a podcast the way we do now. So it's very much you that have inspired us in many ways.
That's incredible, Jonas, and thank you for saying that.
And I'll expand on that later on. I'd like to, because I think you certainly deserve it. Well, what motivates us is we have very much in every way the same development as you have in America. I mean, this is, when it comes to mass immigration, when it comes to complete dissolution of fundamental values, et cetera, breaking up of families, well, of the family as an institution, I should say. And all of this that has been going on now for, well, half a century, full on, is something that, you know, goes on simultaneously in the entire white Christian world, or at least what used to be called Christian. So, I mean, it's pretty much the same motivation as you have, I would suppose, yeah.
I think some of these problems, Jonas, are indeed universal. We're going to spend some of this hour cultivating an understanding of our audience with some of the issues that face our European cousins. But certainly some of the issues apply to all of us, and there are inconvenient truths that we are not supposed to talk about in a media dominated by political correctness. But thank God there are people like us, networks like ours, and certainly activists like you in the motherland, Europe, that are talking about these things at a time when it is sorely needed. And I wanted to circle back and thank you again for your kind words and saying that we had, you know, even a small part in the development of your own radio program over there. And if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, the episode that I appeared on a week and a half ago has received at this point more than 15,000 downloads. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Unreal. And that's an all-time record, correct?
It is, yeah. It is, yeah.
Such an honor. I mean, such an honor. So many people listening.
A small part in it, yeah. I mean, the whole format we've more or less borrowed from you. I've listened to your show for years. And then, well, my two co-hosts, Donnie Erickson and Magnus Söderman, were sort of thinking along the same lines. And we weren't really sort of friends from the beginning. We've never sort of hung out or anything. We knew of each other, but we didn't know each other.
Jonas, we got to take a break. I'm going to let you continue that story when we return. It's just such an incredible honor to think that the Political Cesspool played a role in a program overseas in Europe that is now receiving over 15,000 downloads. Imagine speaking to a group of 15,000 people, folks. That's what we did last week, thanks to Jonas.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you. All the way. Happy to be near you when you need someone to cheer you. All the way. Taller than the tallest tree is. That's how it's got to feel. Deeper than the deep blue sea is. That's how deep it goes if it's real.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to the Political Cesspool. Keith Alexander there spinning a Valentine's Day love offering of the chairman of the board, Frank Sinatra. We are rejoined now by our friend Jonas Daguerre, prominent European nationalist, Christian, conservative activist. And Jonas, the next question for you comes from my co-host.
Jonas, I was very interested in hearing you say that marriage is a problem in Sweden. In America, the sexual revolution and certain legal innovations like the advent of no-fault divorce have seriously damaged the institution of marriage, and they've also affected negatively birth rates. What is the experience in Sweden? Is it similar?
Well,
how does
exactly,
it differ? What
exactly
is it?
The same, but probably worse than at least your parts of America. But I can imagine it's the same kind of thing in on the West Coast or East Coast. I don't know. I've never really been in America, so I couldn't.
Well, my impression is that it's affected marriage as an institution everywhere in America, and I was interested to hear you comment about similar developments in Sweden. Let me ask you this. What is the problem? Do you have a problem with third world immigration in Sweden? And if so, Who are the people? What are their numbers? What's the problem?
Well, it really sort of started on a big scale in the 80s, third world immigration, and it's just accelerated, and it's planned. It's not. I mean, the idea that these are refugees that, you know, seek asylum and et cetera, it's just nonsense. I tell you what, we have, Sweden has 9 so-called migration attachés around the world, which is part of the sort of diplomatic service in places like Nairobi and you know, who are actually there to the Swedish State Employment Agency have do sort of information drives in countries like that, telling people what they can expect in Sweden and etc. So I mean, this is, and it's not only Sweden. We might be extreme in some ways, for sure. But I mean, everyone, every European or every American, Australian, anyone of European descent, should I say, must realize that this is a universal problem. I mean, and this is going on, and it's centrally planned. You know, people do have a tendency to blame either the, if you're American, you probably would blame Obama and the Democrats. If you're Swede, you certainly have a tendency to blame the Social Democrats. They've been the reigning party for most of the last century, at least, and et cetera. And so on and so forth. But, I mean, this is... the structure looks the same in pretty much every country. It's not to be questioned. People don't like it, really. I mean, certainly a majority of people in any
yes.
white country would not have welcomed, certainly not mass immigration, if they would have been informed, if they would not have been sort of made to think that they did not have a choice on the matter, if they were not sort of made aware of that it would be costsome for them to oppose it.
Certainly, Jonas, we see, I think, what you will probably find in Europe is similar to that what we find here in America, is that the majority of the people, the red state, conservative, middle-class Americans, certainly have a problem with illegal immigration here. An immigration of any standard here in America, particularly that from the third world here in America. Certainly we receive the bulk of our illegal immigration from Mexico, but most Americans are opposed to that. They're opposed to citizenship for those people and amnesty for those people. I think you will find that in Europe as well. The problem is, in America and in Europe, the elites are in favor of it. We don't have a problem with Islamification in America because we don't share a border or a region with those people, but you do have it in Europe. A mutual acquaintance of ours, Nick Griffin, I know you've spoken with him. He's been on this show. I've broken bread with the man. He talked about the problem of Islamification in Great Britain. Indeed, this is a pan-European problem because it's a problem in Sweden as well that nearly spans the entire reach of Europe into Asia. Talk about, if you will, Jonas, the Islamification of Sweden, particularly, and this is a story we've covered in passing on the program before, the increase of rapes in Sweden as a result of third world and immigration and the Islamification of Sweden. How prolific is the uptick in sexual violence from immigrants in Sweden, and if you would, the general take on Islamification of Sweden?
Well, I mean, there certainly has been a significant increase. I mean, you get group rapes, which is always Arabs or blacks on white Swedish girls. Always, you know, without exception, you get that pretty much every week now. somewhere in the country. And that was unheard of. At least when I was a child. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and I was born in 71. Rape, you knew what that was, but group rapes, I mean, you can deduce what it is, but it was just something that didn't happen. Whereas now it's more or less commonplace, which is awful. Then again, I must say, with the rape statistics saying that Sweden has become the number two rape country, whatever, for lack of better words, in the world after South Africa, I'm a bit skeptical of that, because we also have a crazy political correctness that has infected the justice system. We made ourselves ridiculous in front of the world with the prosecution of Julian Assange. That is also something to be taken into consideration. I don't know exactly how these statistics.
Well, thank you so much. We're going to be right back with you after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned for more of this interview, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Cesspool crew, there was for you this day after Valentine's Day, a homegrown boy that made it good. Probably second only to us in terms of fanfare and acclaim, Elvis Presley. No, he might be a little more famous than we. But nevertheless, welcome back to the Political Cesspool, folks. Let me tell you what's forthcoming in tonight's broadcast. In the second hour, we will hear from program mainstay Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance. And in the third hour, when Eddie the Bombardier Miller joins us as co-host, I will be giving you a day in the life of James Edwards. What is my daily routine like? Well, I'm going to tell you in the third hour, and it doesn't involve any sleep. It does not involve any sleep. I never sleep. But first, back to a man who is making his mark in Europe, Jonas de Geer. He's done it in print. He's done it in radio. He's done it in political activism, advocating for a political party that advances our issues. Jonas is a man of many talents, and we are honored to have his presence on the show tonight. And the next question goes to Keith Alexander.
Right. Jonas is a man for all seasons in the best sense of the term. Let me say this, if I could, about what you were talking about in the last segment. I think that globalism is the end game for all liberalism. And why we are seeing the elites in Sweden, as in the United States, ignore our borders is because they think there should be no borders. They think that there should be no so-called artificial boundaries to limit the movement of people and goods. That's like a civic religion to them. Although you really surprised me when you told me that the Swedish authorities are going at one better. They're not only allowing third world immigration into Sweden, they are actually trying to entice third world immigrants in. I don't think we've done that yet in America, but it's apparently they'll get the idea now. That's one thing that we've got. The other thing that you were talking about was a rape problem that has developed in Sweden as a result of third world immigration. It reminds me of the fact that in America, U.S. Justice Department statistics show that every year there are approximately 37,000 black-on-white rapes in America. That would be over 100 a day. 36,500 would be 100 a day. Now, what about the converse? White-on-black rapes. Almost every year, the U.S. Justice Department reports that the number is less than 10. Less than 10 could be zero. Less than 10 incidents won't show up on the U.S. Justice Department database. Is that similar to the experience that you've had in Sweden, Jonas, or not?
Well, depends on what you mean. I mean, obviously, we don't have yet that big a black population, but it's certainly the same that they always try to hide the statistics and et cetera. And like I said, I mean, it's always the case that with group rapes, for example, that it's younger, well, not always younger even, but it's always Middle Easterners or black Africans on Swedish girls. Always, I mean, probably without exception.
certainly not Swedish guys on the immigrants that you are facilitating, correct?
Sorry, I hear you so poorly. So could you repeat that, James?
No, I was just saying it's certainly with regards to rape statistics in Sweden, interracial rape statistics in Sweden, it's certainly not the native Swedes on the raping the immigrants.
No, sure. But they always do, you know, the sort of rope trick, and they shove it into one of their politically correct categories. So it's being presented, of course, as male violence. And the feminists have a go at it and discuss, because that way of formulating the problem is accepted, you know?
Well, absolutely I do, and we see it here all of the time. I shared with you on the radio interview that I gave to your incredible broadcast, Antidote, a few days ago, that my perception, you asked me my thoughts on Sweden, and my first reaction was beautiful women, but beyond that, it's everything politically that I despise about America, but on steroids, and America is trying its damnedest to catch up to Sweden. But let me ask you about this, Jonas, the viability, and we spoke about this at short length on your program in the interview that I gave, the viability of opposition political parties in Europe, in Sweden, across Europe. Here you have the Republicans and the Democrats and nothing else. And basically the Republicans exist to ratify that which the Democrats advocate for sometime in the near future, the not too distant future. What is the reality of nationalistic opposition parties in Europe? We don't have a multi-party system here. There is no chance of a third-party candidate being elected to a position of a senator or a congressman in the United States. What is the true reality, in your opinion, of opposition parties of our persuasion in Europe?
Well, it depends on which country we're talking about. First, I must talk a bit about something that is very closely related, has a lot of bearing for that question. When we talk about the Islamization of Europe and et cetera, I mean, it's no doubt that it's a problem. And you have areas of certainly in France and England, and Sweden today as well, which are more or less no-go zones for native Europeans. And, I mean, this is the reality, but we must realize that they haven't made it here on their own. You know, they haven't been able to we haven't had scores of Muslim academics that have argued for mass immigration or for multiculturalism as sort of a fundamental ideology for our societies. It's this is so obvious. Anyone who's looked at the matter would know this. I mean, this is a Jewish idea. This is a Jewish vision of the world, which is sort of being realized. I mean, the people that are pathologizing anti-immigrant feelings in the newspapers, in on television, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, these outlets are not owned by Saudi millionaires. I mean, this is, you know, this is. Such a fundamental factor that you can't overlook it. And I know you guys have brought it up in a very honest way on the political cesspool, and we try to do the same thing. But I mean, that has to be said first. And it's also the case that many of these so-called nationalist parties or patriotic parties in Europe that are perceived by Americans often to be, I mean, even well-read and insightful, otherwise insightful Americans, are perceived to be well, good forces are actually either set up from the beginning or they've been infiltrated by Zionist forces. So they're bought into this entire counter-jihad rhetoric, which is just, you know, which has rendered them completely controlled and useless opposition.
Well, let me ask you this, Jonas, to interject. We're about to take a break. In your opinion, name for us the true parties, the parties that we can watch that are really making a difference in your mind that are not controlled opposition.
Right.
So what would those parties be?
Well, I would certainly say Golden Dawn in Greece. But, I mean, you see how they're being treated.
Absolutely. I think once you start arresting their members of parliament and sending them to jail, you know that they're the real deal. We got to take a break, Jonas. We're back with you for one more segment right after this.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I bless the day I found you. I want to stay around you. And so I beg you,
Don't take this heaven from one. If you must cling to someone now and forever, let it be me.
We're playing, of course, folks, this day after Valentine's Day, some of our favorite love songs tonight in the Political Cesspool. Certainly everything we do in life is motivated by love. Love of our loved ones, our spouses, our girlfriends, love of our children, love of our people. This is what motivates us to take action here in the Political Cesspool. A program, by the way, folks, that is number 8 right now, as of this second, number 8 in terms of the most listened to radio shows on the internet in the United States right now. We're number 8, and that's not even taking into consideration those who are tuned in tonight on the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network. We're in the top 10 most listened to shows in the United States of America right now, and I'm sure credit in part is due to Jonas Deguerre, our guest this evening, and his promotion of our show and his interview with us on his website. Don't forget to check it out. We have a direct link to his website. You might want to use Google Translate when you get there, but it's there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And Jonas, thank you for that. And we're going to Keith Alexander, who has the next question for you.
Jonas, tell me this, if you could, please. Where do your third world immigrants come from? Is it any particular country? Is it? Are they Middle Easterners? Are they Black Africans? Are they Asians? What's the mix? And what are the problems associated with third world immigration besides the increase in crime that you've already mentioned?
Well, they come from pretty much all over the place. When I grew up, it used to be mostly South Americans and Turks. There were also a few Italians and people from ex-Yugoslavia then who had come to work, but they sort of fell into sort of well, a different category. I'm not saying that none of the Turks or South Americans worked, but they were slightly different. And, of course, they're from more different races or countries or what have you. They come from everywhere today. That's the truth of it, Keith.
Well, what problems besides an increase or an uptick in crime do you associate with third world immigration? For example, increasing welfare entitlements and benefits and more people making recourse of your welfare system, for example? Or are there religious conflicts between Islamic people and Christians? What give us the dynamics of what the conflicts are as a result of third world immigration in Sweden?
Well, I mean, mainly the dynamics is actually, the main problem, I should say, is actually about, two things. It is crime, as you said, but we've covered that, I suppose. And it's also, of course, the strain on the economy. Especially if you have a welfare system that Sweden has had with very, very heavy taxes. People, almost without exception, pay more than 50% of their income in tax, sometimes much more. So if you have a system where you have to accommodate loads and loads and loads of people that don't work, and in some cases don't have any intention to find work. They're just attracted to the country by, they've heard from relatives about the fantastic benefits that there are, and so on and so forth. I mean, it goes without saying that it's not going to work for forever. What you get for these heavy taxes is getting less and less. I mean, I'm not saying I was for that in the first place, but at the same time, people were fairly content before when at least they got some sort of value for their money. But now it's all being, drained.
Well, and we're going to talk about this, I think, later in the show tonight. Perhaps in the third hour, my co-host Eddie Miller wants to talk a little bit about economics and the economy. And we will talk about the drain that welfare has been, how many trillions we've spent on social welfare programs that have not benefited our people or our country in any significant manner. But I want to circle back quickly, Jonas. I have one final topic of discussion. This hour has gone by so fast. It's amazing that nearly an hour has passed since we welcomed you to the show. I want to ask you to complete your thought before we ran into that last break about political parties of a nationalistic persuasion in Europe that are making a difference. You mentioned Golden Dawn in Greece. Would you consider perhaps the Le Pens of France to be sincere, the BNP or Vlaams Belang, any of those organizations or parties? What would you add to the list of parties that we should watch that are making a difference for the right reasons?
Well, it's complicated, you know, James. When I mention Golden Dawn, it's not because I think you have to be as radical as they are in order to be taken seriously. If you look at Front National in France, for example, it's certainly been liberalized under Marine Le Pen. But it's such a big party today, and there are certainly still segments of sort of true nationalist opposition. But they've always gathered people from different camps, which has been their strength. But it's hard to say. You say Vlaams Blok. That's another thing which perhaps, all your listeners aren't aware of. But, you know, what happens to political parties when they step out of line for the powers that be is that they become depressed. And this is what happens to Vlaams Blok at least some 9 years ago or something like that. So they had to close that down and resuscitate it as Vlaams Belang, which is called today. And unfortunately, Vlaams Belang has become one of these sort of counter-jihadists, blah, blah, blah. Their party leader has gone down to... they had a conference in Israel with the leaders from Vlaams Belang, the Sweden Democrats, FPÖ, and etc., you know, embracing the whole sort of counter-jihadist idea that, or lie, I should say, that Israel is the only outpost of the Western civilization in the barbaric world, and thus the Jews are our best allies against the immigrants, which is, you know, really... grotesque when you think about the Jewish role in propagating mass immigration. They are the architects behind the multicultural society or the multicultural ideology, I should say.
Well, and certainly in the suppression of freedom of speech. And Jonas, we're running out of time. We have less than 2 minutes now. And I tell you, this program ran entirely too quickly. I want to remind you and your audience that, of course, you have our permission to take the archive of this broadcast and make it available to your listeners. It will be there in the archives about an hour after the conclusion of tonight's show. I wanted to talk to you about the freedom of speech as it exists in Europe, or perhaps doesn't exist in Europe, compared to here in America. Certainly in Europe, you run a risk of going to jail for speaking in terms that the establishment doesn't approve of, where here in America, you might be ostracized or lose your job, but you don't face criminal penalties yet. But let me ask you this in the only minute we have remaining. We ran an article on our website about the despicable treatment, in my opinion, that Vladimir Putin is receiving in his administration of the Winter Olympics. As a European, you certainly speak from an authority far superior to ours with regards to sincere political parties over there versus that which we may believe or have heard to be. What is your take on Putin and Russia?
It's very mixed. I mean, he is an ex-KGB officer, so I'm not always sure I agree with his policies on say, Ukraine or whatever. But I agree with you. It is a despicable treatment. And I don't know where this, you know, what this campaign against him is about. I mean, I can't think that, you know, the gay lobby powerful as it may be, but it's not powerful enough to orchestrate this kind of thing.
Vilification.
So, I think overall, I'm quite positive to Putin.
I think that would be my knee-jerk reaction, is that, you know, certainly compared to Barack Obama or George Bush, I wish we could have had a president like Putin here in America. I mean, we haven't had a decent president since Jefferson Davis here in the United States, or the Confederate States, or wherever we are. Listen, Jonas, my friend, what an incredible interview, a top 10 interview tonight in terms of listenership in the United States on the internet. And we will have you back in short order. We're number 7 right now as we wrap up with you. Let's have you back again soon. And, folks, the second and third hour are still forthcoming tonight. Stay tuned.
The Liberty News Radio Network.